Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on Pop Gaze, we talk the Met Gala,
the Melbourne earthquake,
and Camila Cabello's Cinderella.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers! Yeah! Hi! Hello, hello, hello!
Oh my God, we are alive.
Barely. Yeah. Couple of close calls. We did it. We're back, baby. We're back again.
Back again. Double vaxxed edition.
Yes. Feeling very immuno. What's the opposite of compromised?
Promised.
Yeah, we are. We are swole with
healthy and
vaccine.
Strong.
Yeah. I'm plump with vaccination. Yeah. I fucking love it. It does feel good being vaccinated, just like quickly, obviously, but you just feel a little bit more like, ah, okay.
Yeah. It's very nice. I do feel like, safer and more able to go and do things.
I'm seeing like more colors, things taste different.
Yeah.
You'll all be surprised to find that we're actually not anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. It's kind of funny when like so many in the comedian like social media world, there's so many people like posting about like, you know, get vaccinated, guys, and it's like, I'm pretty sure in this leftist like progressive comedy bubble, we've got a lot of
people whose like jobs also rely on their like everyone getting vaccinated.
Yes.
Mm. Oh my God, please get vaccinated so that I can ruin my life at Max Watts next year. Please. Oh,
please.
Yes. What would be the top three places you'd want to go or do activities like once we're out of lockdown?
I want to go to Fitzroy Pool when I'm really like ripped and like watch people and judge them.
Yes.
Nice. / check them out. I want to go to a fucking club.
Yes.
I'm going to go to Circuit and Yaya's.
Aurelia, I'm the same. Yeah. I just like, and it's not like when I was like before lockdown, I was like partying all the time. But as soon as that gets taken away from me, I'm like, I at least have like a night a month where I let it out of my system. Like, fuck me. Like, cat's got to play when the mouse is dead or whatever it is.
Do you reckon you'd keep it up though? Like, do you reckon you'd go have one big night and then be like, all right, I'm done again?
Probably.
Never again.
For sure.
Yeah.
What's yours?
One of mine would definitely be a club. I think like I'd chuck Puffdorf or Circuit in there for sure. I just want to dance to, like, it's crazy to me that like I still haven't had a chance to like dance to like Chromatica or like an album from last year.
Yeah,
or something.
Dua Lipa
like that.
Released a disco album and we are yet to dance.
Kylie released a fucking disco album and we didn't get to dance to it.
We should learn the WAP dance.
Yes.
And bust it out at the club.
Absolutely. And Lil Nas X Montero came out this week and I'm freaking obsessed with it.
We were talking about Montero recently because you warned me, you said it's like a bop and then it suddenly cliff dives into sad.
Yes.
And I hadn't like given myself, I really like, I'm just different. I like listening to an album, but I went for a run today and I put on Montero from the start strong with Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like halfway through, it just dipped into like sad, and I'm running at like 20 kilometers.
and not just sad, but like sort of pouring his heart out. Like it's like really like vulnerable, earnest, like talking about like growing up as a kid and being like black and queer and what that meant for him and running away from home and all like these like identity situation. It's really like earnest, like for a debut album. I'm like just blown away. He's 22.
shut up.
Yeah.
You need to shut jealous.
What was I doing at 22? Not that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh
my so how God. Old was he when
17 or 18, I think.
Town Road.
Yeah. Old Town Road, yeah.
Must have been.
Yeah, I'll send it to you later. There was this cool interview someone did from, I think, the New York Times, where they got in touch with the guy who made the sample.
Oh, yeah.
And Lil Nas literally got it for like $100.
He would have made scullions.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how it kind of like was just sort of recorded not super professionally, like not on the level he is now, and how it somehow went viral because of that like cowboy challenge. I feel like that's when TikTok really first kicked off and everyone was doing the dance. And how everything that happened was kind of random, but also just well planned enough for it to work and to just go off.
Mm-hmm. He's a social media genius.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing as well. I think when it gets sad, it's like watching your, like, manic friend who's, like, always down for a good time actually, like, open up about their feelings. And you're like, wow, you have a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because online he's all like, well, I'm getting sued by Nike.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm giving birth to myself.
Oh, and, like, yeah, all the this pregnancy.
Stuff. The pregnancy stuff, which was a bit, I think, like, kind of divided the queer community a little bit. What are your thoughts on it? If you dare say.
Yeah, yeah.
cancel me, but I don't have a problem with it.
I agree.
Well, yeah, it's hard because I'm not a genderqueer person experiencing pregnancy or who wants to experience pregnancy later on. I just feel like I don't really have a problem with it, but also I'm not the person to speak on it as well. So it's just one of those things where I just got excited that this pregnant belly. I just thought it was like so beautiful as well, and the way he like threw like that baby shower video and stuff like that, and that gorgeous robe.
I think as well, like he's spoken a lot about like his influences, and he one of the many people that he speaks about is Gaga, and how like her like creation of a world sort of thing, like you know how when she comes out with an album it's like this is my new era and this is like Chromatica and I'm developing this kind of like sonic and like visual album kind of thing, and it just makes me think about like, you know, celebrities do that, like Gaga had that like birthing thing where she came out of the egg, you know, it's all about like you do what you can to like promote your album. And I think if this was like a straight cis man who was not a literal advocate of like pushing, you know, and putting queer perspectives on the map, then yeah, maybe we could say like it's sort of making a mockery of male pregnancy.
Yeah, for sure.
And this also reminds me of just 2 or 3 weeks ago when Drake's new album came out. I actually
I missed that.
So you didn't miss much. I saw the album cover, which is like the pregnant woman emoji from Apple.
Yeah.
But there's like 20 of them. And
it got memed to death.
It got so memed, but like every one of these like little pregnant, you know, like holding a thing. Anyways, I made this little reel being like, this offends me because that was the same week the Texas abortion law got announced.
Yes.
And it's like this little joke about like Drake getting lots of women pregnant. Also paired with the history that he had a child and kept it secret for years.
Oh my God.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, his child was like 5 or 6, started school.
How is Justin Bieber?
Also, Drake fucking texting Millie Bobby Brown. He's a shady character.
He is bloody shady. He can release an album with like 20 pregnant women on the cover, which to me implies that he's saying I could
get everyone pregnant.
Exactly, which is true. Cis men can get a lot of people pregnant. And they don't bear any of the responsibilities. That to me is a lot worse than Lil Nas X being birthing himself as part of promotion in a wholesome and fun way.
And he's got all the charities. Like you go to the Montero like website and for every song there's an attached like queer or black youth like charity that he's donating to. And like a lot of them are trans support and yeah, I don't know. It just seems like it's coming from the right place and that he's normalizing it, I would say.
It's very interesting. And it's just interesting what, like, these artists can just continuously get away with.
Yeah.
have either of you... I haven't, so I can't really speak on it. But have either of you listened to Donda, Kanye West's new album?
I have, yeah.
I don't hate myself that much, but I'm getting there.
I mean... I would recommend listening to this podcast called The Culture.
Oh my God, I listened to the exact same episode.
The episode about Kanye and why he can't be cancelled.
Yes.
It's a very good episode. Personally, I've been listening to Kanye West since, I think, Graduation.
Yeah.
And it was like one of my first sort of experiences listening to English music and like loving it and being like, oh my God, I love this. Like, it's kind of hitting all the right spots. And then kind of going through his progression of being really despicable, but still sort of listening to his music.
Yeah.
And I listened to Donda so I could have a reference, but I didn't love it.
And some of the features are not.
And the features are awful. But I guess the podcast really explains a lot of the sort of like understanding Kanye a bit better, because he is somebody who suffers from mental health issues. He has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I don't know how many like people would know that his mother actually passed away because of surgeries that he paid for.
Yeah.
Which would just be so heavy on someone. And this album is essentially like an homage to his mother, with the opening track being like her last heartbeats.
Oh my God.
No fucking way.
Yeah. So the opening tracks, they just say Donda, Donda. And like it kind of like phases out until it flatlines. And it's just like really sad and like heartbreaking. But then you look at everything else he's been saying and doing, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it's also, this is interesting, like, because he seems to, apparently, and this is where I am quoting a lot from the Culture podcast, but he has this, like, complicated relationship with, like, plastic surgery and stuff like that. And then he's caught up in the Kardashians, who, like, are such poster girls for like what plastic surgery can do for you. You can buy beauty, you can do all this kind of stuff. So I'm like, I don't know, it's he's a bizarre guy.
And
but this like Donda release has just made me listen to like Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I listened to that today.
I can't stop listening to it. And I think that was my in with Kanye. I was like, I didn't really, I knew who he was, but I hadn't listened to his music until that because I'm such a sad bitch. I heard Runaway and I was like, yeah.
and those, I think his earlier music is a lot better, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I, for some reason, I don't feel conflicted listening to like his earlier stuff. I don't have a problem with it because the features are like pretty kosher.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of just over him.
Yeah. Mm. It is interesting, like what you were saying about like Gaga and Lil Nas X, like reinventing themselves over and over again. And then like Kanye is still wearing shoes and a t-shirt. And like, you know, like it's not like.
Or Ed Sheeran just working his way through the bod mass. Have you seen that meme about like, it's like one album is plus, one album is minus. And then it's just like literally like what straight men have to do. But like, and then you compare it to like women who are like every era, it's like a different album. And I'm
a visual
like,
album.
Yeah. It's a whole, like I've changed my hair and my outfits and like.
How am I going to announce my pregnancy?
Yeah.
But to be honest, I don't want to see more of Ed Sheeran.
No.
He can stick with whatever he's doing. Yeah. Tell you what kind of fucking weird straight dance song he's come up with now. I just like, imagine your life where you were just creating first dances for weddings that would be the most boring weddings in the world.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know?
Go off.
Roast everyone in my friendship group who's gotten married. Yeah.
Did you see that this year as well? At some point a couple of weeks ago, someone was saying that Ed Sheeran's song had been like number one on the charts for like 11 consecutive weeks or some kind of record breaking thing. And I was like, I have literally never heard this song.
I was about to say, which song?
I don't even fucking know. Don't know.
I can't help you.
I imagine it's some wedding related shit.
Here's someone I want to hear from again. Adele.
Where is she?
Where are you? She dropped that Jamaica Day photo and she left. Come back with the reggae. Yeah. Fuck me. That was very funny, that photo that popped up back into the zeitgeist the other day. Did you see that on Instagram?
What is it?
Well, she'd done that thing where she like dropped a bunch of weight and didn't talk about it, which I have a lot of like respect for because I think there's just so much like here I am talking about it though, so that's kind of contradictory, but whatever. We're always so like monitoring people's weight, and someone like Adele, of course everyone's been talking. Yeah. Remember when Joan Rivers had a whole set about how fat she was?
I mean, Joan Rivers had that about every female celebrity.
Yeah, fine. I I still love Joan Rivers. I get on myself. I get on myself. But like, yeah, it's so interesting to me. And then she posted this like bikini photo of her with like Jamaican flag bikini, and she had little hairs, and she was like, "Happy Jamaica Day."
Yeah, it was part of the carnival in London. They have a big carnival in August, I think. And it's just huge. People are just drinking in
the
street.
That's the randomest shit I've ever
heard. Notting Hill Carnival. It's huge. Yep. I went 1 year and I was so scared, I went home. I was terrified.
End of list.
End of list. I didn't even enjoy myself. I was so anxious. But obviously it'd be different if you're fucking Adele.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be fun. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I love the idea of being so famous that you can just post a random elusive photo and just be like, that's all. That's all
yeah.
I'm giving.
Yeah.
Well, she's
yeah.
dating someone new.
Oh.
He's a producer, I want to say. I think what she did is she posted a carousel of images on Instagram, and the last one is her with her man.
Oh, sneaky. Just classic. Chucking it in.
Yeah.
I just have so much time for Adele. I think she's funny.
Yeah.
I think she's dry. And I think she's a talent that, like, of our generation, you know?
Mm.
Like, she's literally a millennial, which is wild.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
She has, like, that maternal, like,
yeah.
older lady energy.
Yeah. And she's got definitely, like, top three Bond songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Skyfall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Just, like, the way she can sustain a note with that much power in, like, mid-ranges is just... And she's really nailed the market of, like, being an incredible, unique voice, but also creating music that people can sing along to, which mm-hmm. I think is what you got to do. Because if you're singing too high, no one knows Skyscraper, Demi yeah. Lovato.
Oh, my God.
No one knows it. You're working too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of songs that you can definitely sing along to, and also Kanye and Heartbeats, you got me thinking about it before. Have you been seeing how Taylor Swift has been re-releasing a lot of her older music
yes.
with her own production that is not attached to the producer that, like, screwed her around.
Mm.
So it's, like, Taylor's version.
What happened there? Yeah, she keeps re-releasing these songs, and I was like, I thought they just were your songs. Like,
well, I
calm
think,
down, Taylor.
I forget the details of them, but it's, like, I think she got screwed around by this producer who, like, owned some of the, like, I don't know if it's, like, the copyright or
yeah,
the instrumentals.
Yeah, he owned the masters,
yeah.
I think, and they're worth a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think his name is Scooter Brown.
That sounds
he
right.
He is a producer for, like, anyone who's on the radio. Like,
yeah.
Justin Bieber, blah, blah, blah. And he's a total misogynistic douchebag.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. But also, I'm like, I don't feel like I need to listen to Red again or 1989 or whatever. It's, mm-hmm. like, not so relevant for me. But I get how people who love Taylor are like, oh my God, Queen, own it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the significant song that just came out last week was Wildest Dreams that she redid, because that has her heartbeat in the original version of it, but he owned that. So her now having her heartbeat in this song that she owns is, like, a significant thing. Everyone's like, Taylor finally owns her heartbeat.
She's like, I'm just like, I think that I cringe at Taylor Swift so much because I just feel like that's, like, white girl culture and that's, like, me. So I think I, like, cringe at what I hate most about myself.
Oh, my God.
I own
your heartbeat.
Own my own heartbeat yeah. now. God, people don't even own their own homes.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. And also, I feel like if it's just, like, a regular heartbeat, if you listen to all of our heartbeats, they're probably kind of similar.
Yeah, and we're yeah. just renting ours. Like,
yeah.
it's fine.
At a COVID-reduced rate. You know? Fuck me. I don't know. I, to be fair, have not given enough time to Taylor Swift.
I think you should.
Yeah, I think I saw her on my For You page on TikTok the other day, and I was like, oh, this person looks a lot like Taylor Swift, and I thought it was one of those people doing those transformations.
Oh, yeah.
And then I realized it was her. I was like, damn, you're still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw a cover of her doing Wildest Dreams, actually, at the Grammy Museum a couple of years ago, and it's just her with, like, a electric guitar and no other instrumentation, and it's one of the most beautiful, like, flawless performances I've seen, and it really kind of, like, changed my mind. I was like, fuck, she really, really can sing. Like,
yeah.
I knew that she could sing, but just hearing it, like, in a stripped back way, I was just like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's good.
See, I didn't know she could sing.
Jury's still out with you.
I'm like, you can sing along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop
She's doing karaoke to her own tracks.
Yeah, listen. But yeah,
Yeah, she's a great musician, great songwriter. There's no denying it.
Speaking of singing,
feels like you want to deny it.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you're trying to deny it.
I just don't want anyone coming at our DMs being like, it's internalized misogyny. It's fine. I don't like Taylor Swift. Get over it.
Yeah.
Threatened much?
Oh my God. Thinking of like singing along, I had a flashback to watching Cinderella with you.
Oh my God. We need to discuss.
Did we know it was going to be? So Cinderella, Camila Cabello, one of the many millions of renditions of the Cinderella. Thoughts?
I loved it. But I went into it knowing it would be hot garbage.
Just for clarification, we had a Zoom date where we were all in our own living rooms watching it together. I did not know it was going to be this shit.
You're not prepared.
And I saw this tweet, I think, saying it's like we didn't need a girl boss version of Cinderella where she becomes a clothing designer.
100%. It's like the story is inherently like not a feminist tale. You know, like I understand if they're like, we want to have a fun musical movie for teen girls, you know, that is girl bossing and whatever. But it's like, it ain't Cinderella. No, that's not the tale for you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Cinderella's still living in a gig economy.
Yeah.
And just not, yeah. I also didn't know, I thought it was going to be original music.
Mm. Yeah,
but it
so
was all covers and not, and like all the covers we've seen before in like previous films like Moulin Rouge or like Happy Feet, like half the songs
or
are
Glee.
On the Happy Feet and Glee.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, try to find a fucking song that Glee didn't do. It was, I don't know.
Just be thankful that Glee isn't around to do Montero as Kurt and Blaine.
Oh my God, Kurt.
Yeah. Kurt doing Call Me By Your Name
and it would
be
like,
the death of me.
The whole episode would be like him being scared of like his body or something like that. And then he would do a pole dance for the class.
Oh,
and like
my God.
Mr. Schuster would be like, yeah, you're fuckable.
Yeah.
Camila Cabello, my heart goes out to you. You are getting bullied. Your boyfriend seems a little curious.
A little curious. We got to talk about Cher. He's giving Cher.
I would just say I would love to date a gay man.
I do recommend it.
Yeah. Like, if I was, I don't know how old she is, but I think they're a little bit younger than us. I think early
20s. Could be 35 or she could be 17. I wouldn't know.
No, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, neither. But I think it's good for them to be together and support each other because it doesn't seem like she minds him being who he is.
Yeah.
She's very, like, supportive and proud of him. And I've checked their Instagrams. They post about each other and they're really cute together.
They do seem to love each other.
Yeah, they do seem to love each other. And if he chose to come out at some point as gay or bi or pan or anything else, I think their breakup would be quite, like, amicable and just, like, we loved each other at the time, and I just am discovering some other part of me or something that maybe he wasn't able to because of the pressure of having to be a, like, successful male singer.
Yeah.
And they both just get, like, cyberbullied.
Oh, my God.
You gotta, at least they're, like, there for each other as well.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing where I'm so torn about it because I saw this, like, I think it was like a clip from either a documentary about Sean or something like that. And it made me realize that he was like 16, 17 when Stitches or whatever came out. And that was news to me. I thought that he was like 22 or something like that when it came out. So that by now he'd be, you know, late 20s sort of thing. And when people were sort of speculating about his sexuality in my head, it's like, oh, well, you know, he's sort of our age. It's kind of, It's not ideal. Like, you should never try and out someone. But I was like, buddy is our age. But once I realized it, it's like, oh shit, no, people have been speculating about this kid's sexuality, you know, ever since he came onto the scene when he's at like a very like young age. I was like, oh, that makes me feel a bit shit about it. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this. But then like every fucking week there'll be something that he's doing and I'm like, you're on your own, mate. Like, yeah, like, did you see that clip of him being interviewed on the beach? And he's like, one sec, I've just got to go and pee. And then he dives into the water. But the way that he does it, his ass, like, goes up so high. And he's, like, properly, like, lifting his ass. Like, just bottoming to the water gods.
Oh, God. But then, like, part of me is like, Do you want us to talk about it?
Yeah.
That's like the Beyonce and Jay-Z fight and Solange fight in the lift. I'm like, is this real or is this like
yeah. a
plan? When he said it's giving Cher, yeah. I was like, Shawn Mendes, you know what you're doing here.
Yeah.
You can't throw the name Cher around.
Yeah. And even saying it's giving, like that's like such gay Twitter kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
I just...
God bless him.
God bless. I had to... I remember in the green room once at a gig and there was a straight comic who was talking to me about music or about influential artists or something like that. And I was like, well, like, I think the Cher is probably one of the most influential artists or like one of the biggest artists ever. And he was like, oh, like, oh, okay. I hadn't really thought about it that way. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I just find it like frustrating when like these pop queens, like you cannot enjoy their music.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, mad respects to you. Like Celine Dion, Cher, fucking Kylie Minogue. But you cannot deny that they're not up there in influence with yeah. Nirvana, with the Beatles, with Pink Floyd. It's just a different kind of music.
Mm.
It's for the girls.
Yeah. Well, there's something like Cher has been to the Met Gala, I think, 50 times. Or something crazy like that. Like, she's legit 70 plus. Mm. And it's like, oh my God. Like, she's been, like, in the public eye as a, like, you know, A grade celebrity for that many years, and it's like you're undeniably an influential person at that point.
Absolutely. Oh God, I shudder to think of the cultural appropriation she was bringing to the Met Gala in the 80s and 90s.
yeah
and now all the people are copying her. Like a few years ago, Kim K dressed as Cher.
Oh no way.
I'm not sure if it was in the Met Gala or some other gala, but she had the long hair and the like bedazzled feather nude dress.
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ. Speaking of the Met Gala, did you guys follow it?
Yes. We are gay.
I live for it.
Yeah.
VMAs, Emmys, Met Gala. It's been a juicy time of a month after not having it last year as well.
I love nothing more than the community like coming together, getting on Twitter and talking about random shitty celebrity scandals. Mm-hmm. It fuels me.
Absolutely. I love finding out that I hate things that I didn't know existed. You know?
Yeah.
Like little dresses and suits. I hate this. I enjoyed it. I think the first few outfits, because we always see like the big names first, I find. Like they're the ones that everybody talks about. I was a bit underwhelmed, but then I saw quite a lot of other random celebrities there that I enjoyed, and some outfits that I saw pictured I enjoyed far less than when I saw them moving. Like Emma Chamberlain. Do you know Emma Chamberlain?
Oh yeah.
Who's Emma Chamberlain?
She's a YouTuber.
She is a hugely popular YouTuber. I don't know if we've spoken about her.
No, I don't think so. No.
We had a whole episode about Gabby Hanna, but
okay. Emma Chamberlain is very young, very American, and quite thin,
mm-hmm.
White,
say no more.
Blonde, has a hugely popular YouTube channel and a Spotify podcast, which I tried to listen to.
Oh, I didn't know she had a podcast.
Yeah, it's called, I forgot. and like, she's, like, I see the appeal, but also I'm like, not understanding.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time understanding how she's so popular when I go to YouTube, there's like 10 other people doing the exact same thing.
It is a new generation of types of fame that is a distinctly now kind of thing that was worded so poorly. But like, I feel like when we were growing up, like YouTubers was sort of like a new concept, and that was like, they were real, like, personalities, like, and they would make, like, funny videos and be very, like, charismatic, kind of, basically just, like, comedians that were just generating some kind of content at home. Nowadays, you can sort of be a YouTuber. I mean, I don't know about Emma Chamberlain. I haven't seen her stuff. But, you can just be even sort of, like, an introverted personality and a kind of more sort of muted person and still be very, very successful and then sort of be thrown into the limelight. And it feels like it's a stranger dynamic.
I think that's exactly the appeal of Emma, especially for younger audiences, is that she is an introvert and that she is... she kind of started out, she just moved to a new town or something like that, and she just needed an outlet. And so she started doing these like outfit of the day videos that just took off. And then she started opening up about her mental health and stuff like this. And it creates these kind of like, what, you know how people throw the word like parasocial around a lot?
Mm.
It creates that kind of like parasocial, like friendship and stuff like that. And because she opens up a fair bit and she kind of talks about her anxiety. She also talks about, like, hate, like, because I've watched a few of her videos. like, she talks about, like, hating where she's living or being, like, scared of being away from her family and stuff like that and being, like, overwhelmed with fame and things like that. And I think that that is appealing to people. And she doesn't seem to get caught up in any of the YouTube drama, which, you know, the second that she does, just by nature of her being a girl, she's just going to get torn apart because we just love cool girl, non-dramatic girls. And she's kind of fills that plot. And she seems like she's a good person as well.
She does. No, yeah. I have nothing. I don't watch her. Like, I don't hate watch when I look at her stuff, but I'm like, there's a lot of sort of privilege here.
Oh my God. Totally.
Like I moved into this house and I'm scared of my new neighborhood. Well, it's a multi-million-dollar house with a pool.
Oh my God. How old is she?
Like 19.
12.
Dare to shreds.
I hate my mansion.
Yeah. It's too big.
I'm scared.
Yeah, live in my fucking house.
But no, I still get that all those things are very relatable. And it actually reminded me of seeing this other video of, I think, Charli D'Amelio, the TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Crying about, okay, maybe crying is like exaggerating, but she was like quite sad talking to her parents about how she felt bad for being on Time Magazine's 30 under 30 list.
Yeah.
Why?
Because she was like, all these people are really important, they're doing things, and all I do is dance on TikTok.
Oh. It's such a fucked world.
But then I went further and I was like, she's just doing this. So then she like, seems more relatable. Humble. And then I'm like, you know, oh, she's so humble and so sweet. Yes. Like, she's such a, like...
It's such a game, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
She's just playing 3D chess.
Exactly. It's so fucking, like, I don't, and this is where I kind of borrow from another podcast that I've listened to, but it's the Patreon episode, so you might not have got this content, You're Wrong About Fans, but like that thing of like, we're not supposed to get feedback all the time. And just like reading comments is like, we don't have like anything in our bodies that's like built to be able to handle that kind of onslaught. And to like constantly have that thrown at you, I don't know, I feel like if I was a YouTube star, I would just like turn comments off constantly. I just couldn't handle it. But yeah, Emma Chamberlain is an interesting case. And I just think that we're not the target audience because we're also in a position where we enjoy watching things that we hate.
Yes. So like, yeah, you're right. And we're maybe just a little bit too old and wise in the way of the world to like look at it and be like, oh, that's inspirational, because I'm like, I've been through that and it was fine.
Yeah. And we're not 15-year-olds looking for friends.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff at the Met Gala that is not meant for us, should we talk about AOC's Tax the Rich
dress? Yes, it needs to be addressed. And can we also talk, while we are here, about Cara Delevingne's Peg the Patriarchy?
Oh my God. Yes.
Bitch, you peg.
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
Like, there's so much in both. I feel like both dresses have so much to unpack. Like, with AOC, it's like, she's a politician, and it's kind of strange, in just even on that level, that she's at something like the Met Gala, which is inherently not... I know that she's like, oh, I'm bringing a political message, but it's like, I don't know, this is literally like a kind of vapid place to be doing that, and her whole thing about like, I'm of the people sort of thing, it's like, you can't be of the people but also be in this, you know, $1,000 gown at the Met Gala. What are your thoughts?
She wasn't the only politician there. There was someone else there who was a Republican and who wore a similar sort of dress that said like women's rights on it.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, yeah, that bitch.
And then it was like, dress. This person has literally voted against everything against women.
Yes.
I also saw a lot of posts saying, you know, if you have to write words on your garments that tells you that they're not saying enough by themselves, which, true.
Mm. Yeah. And I think it's like also that thing of like we're so, and this is a tile that got shared around on Instagram a lot. I certainly shared it, but it was just like in like anti-capitalist theory of just being like, now we just talk, and I'm guilty of this too. We talk about being anti-capitalist so much that it's become this like mainstream fodder without actually taking any anti-capitalist action. So yeah. Showing up at the Met Gala wearing this tax the rich thing, but also contributing to the thing that is like extreme wealth. And I think she was a fucking bartender who ended up as a congresswoman. Like, AOC is amazing and she's done some amazing stuff, but I cringe at making celebrity of politicians and idolizing politicians. I think that you just need to cut that out. Even this Daddy Dan Andrews situation. And like, my mum keeps sending me like pictures of Brett Sutton when he's young and I'm like, I can't.
Send them to me.
Yeah. I like, these people work for us and they're going to do bad shit and they're going to like get messed up in these like, this ugly corporation world that we live in.
Let's not call Brett Sutton ugly, please. Retract yeah. that.
Sorry, comment.
Daddy Brett.
Yeah. Trigger warning to any mums out there. But like, truly, I'm like, don't, like, politicians work for us. We don't need to thank them.
Yeah,
they're not our friends.
And
talking about parasocial before, like, if we're to have a parasocial relationship with celebrities, as we are increasingly doing, we're not meant to have them with politicians, like, because it is like it's a transaction. Like, you are doing a job for us.
Yes. I shouldn't be grateful that you've let me live.
Yeah, exactly.
In her defense, I will say she didn't pay for the Met Gala ticket. Met Gala tickets are around $30,000. She didn't pay for the dress. The dress was designed by a black designer called Aurora James, who has a label called Brother Valleys, which is like a shoe/clothing label that does a lot of work with factories in Africa.
Oh, wow.
And they do have like a lot of things that are really helpful, where everything is made ethically, small batch, 15% gets donated to this and this. And she's a very, like, beautiful person. So the designer of the dress, she's very, like, I really like her.
Mm.
But
well, that's good.
When you look into it further, though, you can take this apart again, because even though she's a black woman and an immigrant, she only moved over from Canada, which isn't really immigration. And her boyfriend / husband is like an heir to a record label or something. So yes, there are lots of things that are sort of against her, but I think the thing that kind of bothered me about the whole conversation was that it's the left going against the left.
Yeah,
that's true.
And like, instead of kind of focusing on stuff that we could fix, we're like, she wore an expensive dress to an expensive event and I hate her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And we are talking about it. Like, we are talking about
Taxing the rich people, which is the result, right?
Yeah. And also, here I am being like, I love the Met Gala. I love looking at things. And then, like, she came up and I was like, not that. You're at the Met Gala.
Yeah, yeah, it's
like, true. I was like, this is like where all the wealthy scum are. And I loved this outfit. Literally, so
we're never happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of unhappiness, Peg the Patriarchy, like, What the fuck was she on?
I hate Cara Delevingne. Yeah. She's a bad lesbian.
Is she gay?
I'm not sure if she's a lesbian, but she's definitely bisexual.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. I think she calls herself gay.
Okay.
With a hard G.
She used to date this girl who looked just like her.
Oh.
Ashley Benson.
Yes.
A Pretty Little Liars fame.
Yeah.
It's funny. As soon as you said that she's queer, I'm like, okay, maybe I have to try and like make this right in my head and like defend her somehow, but I'm like, no, it's just an annoying comment.
God, there's bad gays.
Yeah. Here we are.
she really fell into my wrong books with her first Architecture Digest video. Then her second Architecture Digest video, I was like, you're taking the piss.
It was awful. The one with her sister?
Oh my god.
I have to see this. What is it? What happened?
Oh, they have the tackiest house I've ever seen.
It's like Children Got Money. Like, it's like, wow. Like, you, do you remember that movie about a kid called Max who wins $1 million? Or he gets like a blank check. It's called like Max's blank check, and he just buys all this stuff. And you're like, of course, because you're a child.
Mm. Yeah.
But these are two adult women. They live in a house of horrors.
Yeah. I'm imagining like the Spy Kids, like the villains, like lair kind of aesthetic. Or is it like Willy Wonka
wish.
Vibes?
Oh gosh, it's like a holy moly.
It is. Each room has like a little theme. It's like, it's so.
Every room has a theme. There's a door that's like a vagina and you crawl through it.
Wow.
And that's too much for me.
And then you just sit and she's like, it's really warm in here. And I was like, Kara.
Turn down the vagina.
Stop.
Yeah, you're giving all of us a bad look.
Yeah. I know. Wow. And then, yeah, the patriarchy thing, I was like, what? Who do you think the patriarchy is?
And
what's wrong with prostates? Come on.
And people have rightfully brought up that, like, it's got the connotation of, like, are you saying peg the patriarchy as in, like, why is that an edgy comment? Because are you implying, like, that being pegged is, like, a submissive act? Like, fuck the patriarchy? And in that case, it's like, are you saying that, like, is there, like, rape the patriarchy?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is it sort of, like, are you saying, like, screw it even if they don't want it? Like, because assuming, you have to assume that she's not saying we love patriarchy.
Mm.
So she's saying something negative against patriarchy. So why is pegging that to you?
Mm.
And why is that the word rather than fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's because the outfit was Dior and Dior can't put fuck the patriarchy on a little corset. But also Dior had this like t-shirt maybe 3 or 4 seasons ago that said we should all be feminists and it was $800. So of course they're going to put that on a thing.
It's just,
It's
it's such a 2016 mentality.
Edgy girl.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like we all just got more radicalized. Like, when, like, Hillary lost the election, we were, like, heartbroken. And then we were like, oh, would it still been bad if she won? And then we were like, it just seems like the whole system is a bit fucked. Mm. And, like, even I have a shirt that I got when I was in New York.
Peg the patriarchy
and I am wearing and every day I wear it. I have a Nasty Woman t-shirt and like
love that.
And I was like, when I got it, I was like, oh my god, cute. And I got it for, you know, Samantha Bee, she's like a comic who does like, she's a late night comic and she has a lot of satirical stuff and she's great. We went to the live recording of her show and especially when I was like, I want to do stand up and then she like came up with a t-shirt gun and shot out these Nasty Woman t-shirts. And then everybody got them anyway, so it was fine. But now I just cringe at wearing it because, like, I don't know. I'm like, even that
it's
is
been
like,
co-opted.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like having a pussy hat.
Yeah. I'm pretty
Sure
like Target will have like Nasty Woman bed sheets.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, it's done. We're moving on.
The way we like rinsed the pussy hat and threw it out, we were like in and out. Like, oh my god.
The bisexual couch at IKEA.
Oh,
did you see
god.
It with the hands?
That was awful. It looked
disgusting.
Yeah. Why was that about? Oh my god. The pride couches. We missed that. That was on our break.
Yeah. Also, this week is Bi Awareness Week again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've made yourselves clear.
Yeah,
yeah. And like, as so, I identify as bi, but I'm just like this.
Yeah, there's so many weeks of it.
Because by nature of being bi, most of my friends are bi, and also by nature of being in comedy, everybody's fucking
everyone
bi.
In Melbourne is bi.
And I was like, it was just like, it's important. It's very important. But I do want to bully everyone all the time.
Yeah.
I also feel like there's this thing that it happens with pride as well, that there's some Northern Hemisphere dates and then there's some Southern Hemisphere dates, but we celebrate both. whatever's going on. It's like, this is Pride Month, but it's like, that's actually a Northern Hemisphere thing, but we celebrate it when it's Southern here as well. But then we also have our own Pride Day. So I don't think it's a like coincidence that some of these times it's like, didn't we just have a bi awareness week?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just feels like it's always happening.
I think it's a call. It's a call for help. it's like I want to be fucked by either gender.
Yeah.
I don't care. Slide into my DMs. That's what I see.
Yeah. When's
absolutely.
The I want to get fucked day?
Yeah. Oh my god. I mean, obviously we are for bi awareness.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
We just happen to be already aware. But it feels, especially in an echo chamber where it's so funny.
I know.
So I'm like, the only cunts who make stories on Instagram are the bi's.
Yeah.
Like, love it though. Where would we be without it?
Yeah. It gives me life. We love. It's giving share.
It is giving share.
Absolutely giving share. And I also saw this thing when I was like researching on how to be good on social media and blow up your account. One of the things was like, look up days that it is. Like, it might be National Lipstick Day. You could post a selfie wearing lipstick.
Oh my God.
And I bet like in some kind of marketing guru guide, it's like, and Bisexual Awareness Day.
Yes.
Post a picture of you being bisexual.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a day. Every day is a day.
Yeah.
Every day is a day. National Sausage Dog Day. You know, like.
Wow. I miss Sausage Dog Day.
Oh my God. That's you.
I could have got onto it. I missed content.
You could have had so many followers.
Damn it. Fucking hell. Should we talk about our survival stories of the earthquake?
Barely made it.
Yeah. How are we all feeling?
It's terrifying. I immediately bleached my hair the next day.
A natural response.
It's quite patchy. So
I'm imagining you, but like your house. I'm imagining you like that. Your house shaking. You're like screaming, and you're like, I'm gonna bleach my hair.
Yeah, that was the excuse I needed. How was it for you? Where were you when the quake hit?
I was actually at work. So I was on Chapel Street where there was a lot of buildings, like older, like pubs and...
Oh my God, Ground Zero.
Yeah, legit. It was, not going to lie, quite scary because we didn't know what was happening. We were just seeing all this stuff coming in on our phones about like, you know, South Yarra Chapel Street is affected, blah, 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 like buildings coming down. And like, it turns out it was just Betty's Burgers and it was just one wall of an old building. But, you know, in a moment of panic when you're just kind of like, you don't understand what's going on. And like, we're not used to earthquakes here. Like, this is not a common thing. Mm. It was quite scary. But then like as soon as we realized it was all right, it was just straight into the memes. Like, there've been some good memes.
Oh my God. It was... Truly, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, Betty's Burgers. And I hope that no one actually experienced like true danger and fear. Someone probably did, but fuck, it was a good time.
Yeah,
like the group chats, Twitter, everybody. Like, it was. I love groupthink that isn't like terrorism.
Well, it's so nice to talk about something in Melbourne other than our lockdown, the riots.
Oh, you know, my God,
like, just something nice, community bonding.
Mm.
It's lovely.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody's got a story. I was in the kitchen and I don't think I would have noticed it. It was happening and I was just like making a cup of tea. Rugging around. And then my partner came and was like, do you feel that? And then I realized it was an earthquake. Yeah. It was like, it all happened at once. It was a great time. Yeah. I loved every second of it.
It was so much fun. I called my mum immediately after because I ended up leaving work because I was like, I want to go check on the dogs and I also just want a day off work. so I was like, no, too much trauma, I'm out. but I called my mum and she was in the middle of a work thing. So she was like, oh, I can't really talk. What's up though, Charlie? And I was like, oh, I was just calling about, like this is minutes after the earthquake. I was like, oh, I was just going to call about the earthquake that just happened. And she was just kind of like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, we'll talk about that later. Like, it clearly was like a non-event to her, which is fine. But then my mum has this thing where she's always about the one-upping. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So by the time that I spoke to her again that night when she called back, she clearly seen the news, heard about how it was quite a big deal and blah, 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 blah. And so she was like, oh, well, we really felt it here. You know? Being closer to the epicenter, like, you know, she's a couple suburbs over from me, but she's like, oh, you know, being closer to Mansfield, which was the epicenter, we really felt it here. And she went into this story that probably went for about 3 minutes of her just describing, like, and then I was, you know, I was thrown from my chair and the walls were shaking and books were flying and I tried to grab my dog and blah, blah, blah. And she was just going on and on and on about it. And I'm just sitting there just like, And I'm thinking like, wow, like this... like story has gone for, you know, 30 times the length of the 5 second earthquake. Like, it was just so much.
It's like, it's amazing how much, like, similar to this, like, wanting to tear people down on on social media. It's like, if I was a man, I would have been an MRA, like, just a troll online, just like an awful person. But yes, with the earthquake stuff, there was like a lot of people posting so bad because it's important. But people were posting like infographics, being like, make sure you stand in a doorway, or like get in the bath, or like all these structural things to protect yourself, which is important. Like if you need it. But I was like, guys, chill. It was like a 6 on the Richter. Can we calm down? And then I did see this TikTok of this girl explaining like why we should actually care about the earthquake, because I like buildings aren't built for it.
Yes.
Like, blah, blah, blah. So it is genuinely like an actual risk. But in my mind, I was like, run into a doorway. Can't just like make sure that you... I'm saying the C word so much in this, but I've been alone. Just make sure your books don't fall down.
Yeah. Well, they were saying that that was one of the biggest worries, that because we're in lockdown, there'll be so many people on Zoom in their like, you know, studies or stuff like that. It's like people are going to have books behind them and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I would love the excuse to yeah, yeah. like be like, oh, I'm so sorry, like Michelle fell on my head.
Yeah, coming in with a cast. Like,
but nothing had happened. My coworker was like, oh, I'm just going to take a minute to check the house. That hadn't even occurred to me. I was like, I don't give a shit about this house.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
renting.
I hope this episode ages well, and like in like we don't have like an aftershock that's like
devastating. Oh my god,
we release this episode being like, we were fine,
and me being like, get over yourself. it was a great time though. I have no regrets for making that earthquake happen. Yeah. Did you see that broadcast of ABC when like
Yes!
it there, and I can't remember the guy's name, but the anchor of like the morning news was like 2 seconds of the earth shaking, and he was like, looks at his phone and goes, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, let's get the fuck out of here. And everybody's like, this man knows when to clock off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you can hear, like, the producers in that video being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, they're like, well, this is fucking scary.
Yeah, yeah. Like, welcome to Melbourne.
It's giving the TikTok that's like, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm obsessed with that one. Did you see the one I sent you guys of, like, the shrimp in the Titanic when the boat went under? Yeah. It's like the three of them. Let's go.
It's so, so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it so much.
Should we do our pop or flop for this week?
Yes.
No. I can't. I'm too out of sync.
Okay. I'll go and then you go. Okay. Pop or flop?
Pop or flop?
Pop or flop?
Also great.
So this week, we decided to do pop or flop for some Met Gala fashions.
Bonjour.
Yeah, just getting the spirit of it. The first one that we were going to chat about was Troye Sivan.
A simple dress.
Troye Sivan was wearing Supre.
You sure it wasn't Shine? Is it Sheen or Shine? You know that like $2 website?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but it's definitely cancelled.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the outfit was the TikTok of Troye Sivan forming a prayer circle to help their Timothée Chalamet was feeling single and ready to mingle. I liked the look on Troye. Gorgeous arms, glowy skin.
But isn't that just Troye is good looking?
You're right. It didn't give Cher.
No, it wasn't giving. That's our new method.
It wasn't giving shit.
It's a flop for me. It's such a flop that it's something else.
And the theme of the Met Gala as well, let's remember, was like Americana. So
yeah.
American fashion moments, which was why we saw a lot of like Wild West crap.
Yeah.
Like old Hollywood glamour type looks.
Yeah.
And then this, which I don't even know what era that is.
He must really hate America, is what I'm getting from that.
which I respect.
Yeah. It's very like, I have, obviously, it's kind of, you know, people are like, oh, he's wearing a dress to the Met Gala. That's cool and a bit like avant-garde. But it's like, yeah, but wear a nice dress. Like, why does it have to be this, like, ugliest, like, droopiest thing? It's just not it.
I don't like the length.
No.
Yeah. All right, that's a flop.
It's a flop.
Who's next?
Kim.
Kim K, amazing.
I loved it.
Like we know who it was without needing to know.
Yeah.
And also...
And do you think it was her?
It was her double. Rumor?
Yeah.
And then, like, Kanye was there as well, but it's not. It was the designer.
Yeah. Balenciaga.
Yeah.
Black t-shirt. And what is more American than a t-shirt?
Exactly. I loved it. I think people need to remember, and this is what I'm always looking for with the Met Gala, is it's a costume party. That's what they call it. It's like the Met Gala costume party.
Mm.
Do something
fucked. Do something that's going to get published in the paper and people discussing it.
Yeah, exactly. And Kim does always nail it. She always nails the brief.
It's a pop.
Mm. Yeah.
For sure. Next up, we have Megan Fox.
She looked great.
Oh, she looked incredible.
I think I want more, again, Met Gala vibes, but the dress is a standalone, gorgeous, and also we love the reconnaissance of Meg Fox.
Yeah, I love seeing her almost naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if we're going to call Troy out for just using hotness, can we maybe have to do the same for Megan? Like, because really, this dress is kind of like a less eccentric version of that dripping dress that Kim wore last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a pop, I think.
It is a pop, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Mm.
And, I mean, the Met Gala is full of beautiful people, so how can we sit here roast them for doing their job?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that, do you see that bathroom shot of Megan and, who's she with?
So Megan and Machine Gun Kelly and Kourtney Kardashian and
some child.
Some guy she's dating. I forgot his name. Well, both kissing at the same time in the toilet.
It just looked gross to me.
It looked gross. It gave school disco.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Socials.
Megan Fox are the couple that you would be in a conversation with and then they'd just start making out in front of you and you'd be like.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I will say Megan Fox has 3 biological children. How?
No way. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah.
The kids are a pop.
Who's next?
Lil Nas X.
Pop for me.
Absolute pop.
Yeah, I love the changes.
It's Drag Race finale. Yeah. He had reveals.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love, similar to a few years ago Zendaya wearing that Joan of Arc outfit, the Saints and the thingy.
What was the Joan of Arc?
She wore this, I'll get it up on my phone.
She had a short red bob and this Joan of Arc dress with armor and chains.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God, it was so nice. I love Zendaya. Yeah, she just looked, it was just like, this is what I'm looking for at the Met Gala. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stunning. Similar, I did enjoy thingies. What's the youngest one? Kendall Jenner's homage to Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
I quite liked that.
That was beautiful.
Well. Yeah.
Next, we have Camilla and Sean. We're going to do them as a combo.
Flop.
Yeah.
For sure. It actually didn't give Cher.
Yeah, it's giving a flop. Yeah.
I just feel bad. Whoever let them do that was like, it, literally like throwing a match into a fueled building.
Sean looked hot, but the outfit was absolutely nothing of interest.
Yeah.
But it's just, he looked hot. I wanted to lick him. But Camilla's dress, holy fucking shit. Someone on Twitter said that it was first queen eliminated on a Drag Race ball episode type of gown. And it 100% looked like that. It looked like it had just been made like in the lobby, in the foyer. They're just like strung together this like one like spotlight material. It was cheap.
I feel bad for it. It didn't even look fitted to her.
No.
No, it didn't.
Oh, God.
Flop. Frank Ocean is next.
Frank Ocean.
I love it. Pop for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that he's got Elon Musk's baby with him. And interesting fact, the thing that the plastic baby he's carrying is wearing is actually from Frank's own clothing line, which is going to come out soon. And it reminded me of a look he wore before. He's wearing Prada.
Does the green have any significance?
Money? It's giving money.
The environment. Yeah. It's a political comment.
I love Frank Ocean.
He can do no wrong.
He was like, I'm gonna maybe release music every 7 million years. See ya. I saw him, my Frank Ocean story is that I saw him with a friend when he was in Melbourne, and he had 2 concerts booked in at Festival Hall, and then he had his he was supposed to do
Splendor
in the Grass. And we saw him on the night of his last performance for like a year because he had nodules, and he was singing Forrest Gump, and he had to stop and like breathe and like take a breath, and then he'd be like, and oh my God, and his voice was like, actually, like I felt his nodules.
It was hoarse.
It was like, and then but we were like, keep singing.
Yeah.
I was like studying voice at uni at the time, and I was with my friend who was also doing the same. We were like, that's bad.
Yeah.
Keep going. He's the best. He's great. Can do no wrong. Pop.
It's a pop for us.
Yeah, it's a pop.
Next up, we have Rihanna. And I think we should include
ASAP.
ASAP Rocky in that. They're dating. How cute.
I didn't know until the Met Gala that they were dating.
Oh, I could have told you 6 months ago.
Who is this person?
ASAP Rocky is a rapper who's very handsome, beautiful hands.
Mm.
Beautiful hands?
Yeah, I always notice hands in a man.
Oh, how are my hands?
I would let you finger me.
Oh, my God. I do think I have, like, pianist fingers.
You definitely do. Long and elegant fingers.
Yeah. Not to be confused with penis fingers.
Pianist fingers. a Swedish penis. The bar's on the floor for his male hands, though. I won't say that much.
He looks like he gets manicures. Look at this.
Okay, they are lovely hands.
Gorgeous hands. What a beautiful symmetrical face.
Yeah. So they look good. I like them. I didn't think it was quite the statement I was expecting from Rihanna.
It wasn't like eccentric or anything, but it was just glamour. It was lovely.
I missed her body. I will say that much. But it was an outfit. It was a look. I'm going to say pop.
Yeah, there was this like cute video moment as well where ASAP Rocky was wearing this like weird blanket cape. But underneath was actually a beautiful suit, which he revealed. And when he did, she just looked at him with the smile of, I love you. And that warmed my heart.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Next, we have Nikki Tutorials, who is a YouTuber and makeup artist. Have you guys seen this outfit?
Oh, yes.
It's her homage to Marsha P. Johnson.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I saw her post on Instagram where she kind of left some flowers where Marsha passed away, and I, like, teared up.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's beautiful, and it's an interesting dynamic because some people were sort of, I saw some people sort of saying, like, is this kind of like, you know, like AOC or something like that? Is it a little bit kind of woke attempting to parade as like an everyday person when you're at the Met Gala, which is something that Marsha, you know, wouldn't have been invited to, couldn't have
the
door in. And she is a white woman sort of referencing that story. But she is a trans woman that came out in the public eye. And I think it's beautiful.
I almost feel like she didn't have to come out.
No.
Like, I think Nikki was very popular when she came out.
Mm.
And that's a very brave thing to do. So I salute her. And I think she has a right to tell the story as a trans woman.
Yeah. And I think it's an homage to being like, I am here because Marsha was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the legacy of
it. Yeah, exactly. I saw an interview with her and another YouTube person. I can't remember their name, but they were just wearing a suit and they had this beautiful, like, red eyeshadow makeup on, like, all across their face, almost like a mask. And Emma Chamberlain was interviewing them because she was one of the interviewers on the race course on the on the red carpet. This person was saying that they had this, like, amazing dress lined up that, like, 3 hours before the Met Gala, it all fell apart. And they were like, who has a suit? And someone had a suit in their size. No. And then they just, like, threw on a suit. And you could tell that they were just so disappointed. Because especially for, like, YouTubers and TikTokers, you might never go back to the Met Gala.
No.
Like, you haven't established yourself. You are, like, flavor of the month vibes. So,
And I went to her, like, crossing you off the list.
Yeah, no, yeah. Especially enough. As, like, a queer person, like, just being like,
Well, another trans person at the Met Gala was Elliot.
Yeah.
And he had, you were saying about the flower. What was the significance?
So Oscar Wilde used to wear it as, like, and it was, like, known back in the day that, like, that kind of, like, white rose was sort of symbolic of a queer man. So
nice.
It's just, like, very nice. And some people ripped into him for, like, wearing, like, an oversized suit, but I felt like there was something to that I thought was, like, really interesting. Like, just, like, the oversized jacket and pants and things like that. I was, like, I can't quite nail down what it means to me or what it might mean, but I was, like, I really like it.
It was something kind of Victor Victoria about it. Like, that kind of, like, old Hollywood energy about, like, the transgressive space of, like, I don't know. Yeah, it was cool. It kind of evoked something. I don't think the look was anything exciting, but someone on Twitter, I think it might have been Beck Shaw or someone, saying, like, he gets a pass for 1 year. Like, let him enjoy gender euphoria. And the video of him being called by all the paparazzi, being like, Elliot, look here, look here, look here. And, like, his smile is so...
Oh, I haven't seen that. That would kill me.
It's really nice.
I want to cry.
Yeah, I know. it's like, it's just, like, yeah, it feels like following Elliot's story from like when we grew up, like that is, so,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible stuff.
It is beautiful. It's so nice. I think, yeah, it's a pop for me, his outfit.
Absolutely.
He just has to bring it next year.
Yeah. It's a pop for now.
I also want Elliot to date Mae Martin.
Oh my God, is that what's happening? Because I don't know.
They're everywhere. And I just need them to come out as a couple so I can live in peace.
Yeah. I did not know this, but I can see it.
Yeah, they're just like hanging out, getting tattoos. Oh, maybe she got a tattoo or something.
What's Mae's pronouns?
I think she, they. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I haven't watched the recent season of Feel Good yet just because I love it so much and I actually also find it too triggering. But, like, I think I find that with most shows about stand-ups. I'm obsessed with it, but I also have to stop watching it because I find it a bit...
It cuts to the bone.
Yeah. But I know that they kind of talk about their, like, gender experience as well in that, and a lot of people have really loved that.
Yeah, I loved it. I really loved that season, and everyone should watch it.
I need to watch that. Except what's it on?
Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. And the newest season of Sex Education, I've also heard. I would like to smash it out before the next time we meet.
I want to watch it too, but I've been watching Squid Game.
Squid Game? What the fuck?
It's Korean. It's so good.
I've seen the trailer for that. It looks intense. No.
What is it?
He's people who are all either terminally ill or like in huge debt play this game.
What?
Where they kill people.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
What's it got to do with squids?
A Squid Game is a Korean schoolyard game.
Wait, yeah. So it's just the Hunger Games. They kill each other.
Each other, and they get killed by the people organizing it. This
actually sounds like exactly what I feel like watching.
I always knew Korean dramas were good.
Yeah.
But I just
It's fiction, is it?
It is fiction.
Oh my, I thought this was a reality. I thought when you were talking about it at the start that this was a reality TV show. I was gobsmacked. And you guys just being like, oh yeah, can't wait to watch these people murder each other. Fucking hell. Oh, good times.
Is there anyone else on our pop or flop list?
No, Elliot was our big finish.
Our finale.
Yeah.
Overall, I think that there were some good looks, but I think that people didn't really understand the theme.
No.
And didn't go hard enough. My favorite Met Gala so far is the gods one, the gods and something one.
The religious one where Rihanna came as the Pope.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And we didn't talk about someone who didn't go to the Met Gala, Nicki Minaj.
God.
Quickly, let's
do
recap.
We even have time to get into this, or should we like open with it next episode?
We might have to
open it next episode, but stay tuned where we really
talk about it.
The truth about
Nicki's cousin's friend's balls.
Oh my god,
I love it. I love every second of it. Perfect. And to everybody saying that they're going to do their own research, like Nicki, you know who has researched? A doctor, a 7-year medical degree. So just go talk to them.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, get vaxxed. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at PopGaysPod.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.